当我们来到了一年中结束的时候，
everyone makes lists.
每个人都会有一个列表。
Christianity Today publishes a list of the 10 most read stories of persecuted Christians.
就这个基督徒的这个杂志，它就发表了十个最就是最受逼迫的故事。
I'm not going to read them all, but you can see there's persecution going on all around the world.
我不会一个一个的来把它读一遍，但是大家从屏幕上可以看见，就在世界上的各个地方，这些基督徒都是受到很大的逼迫的。
Every continent.
在每一个大洲
，there is persecution.
都有一些非常严重的迫害。
Of course, we still get news pouring in today.
我们也会听到一些新闻
from the Middle East, from China, from other places about governments persecuting Christians.
这些新闻中我们看见从中国、从这个中东这些很多地区都这些政府，他们都是公开的迫害这个基督教的。
And this is not new. God's people have always been persecuted.For following Jesus and for myriad of other reasons.
但这个我们知道也不是很新奇的事情。我们知道，就神的子民在跟随神的过程中，始终都是受到迫害的。
Of course, in passage today, Daniel receives this prophecy of suffering and destruction, which troubled him.
在今天的经文中，我们看见但以理他看见这个很非常非常忧伤，非常使他不安的一个意象。
He was sick for days.
他对被这个看见这个意象之后，他甚至有很多天，他就病得很严重。
This prophecy was given to Daniel about 550 years before Christ.
这个意象是在550年主前的时候，那个神呈现给但以理的。
And during this time, Daniel was advisor to the Babylonian Empire.
在当时的时候，但以理他是巴比伦的一个谋士。
So open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 8 and follow with us as we walk through this passage.
请大家打开圣经，但以理书第八章，我们一起来看他的这个意象。
Roughly speaking.Verses 3 to 14 is the vision that he receives, and verses 19 to 26 is the interpretation of the vision.
大概来说，从3到14节，这就是讲的这个意象的本身；从19到26节，就是这个天使对这个意象的解释。
The vision starts off with a ram by the canal.
在这个意象开始的时候，就是一个公绵羊在一个河边。
And this ram represents the empire, the Medes and the Persians.
这个公绵羊在这里代表的就是这个马代和波斯王朝。
The horn represents power or kings.
这个它的绵羊上的角就是代表了它的权力，代表了它的势力。
And one horn is bigger because the Persian Empire is more powerful.
它有一个角比较大，因为这个波斯这个王朝在当时是更权力是更大的。
And we read that this empire conquers nations.
我们知道这两个王朝都是这个王朝是它占领了很多其他的国家。
To the west, it conquered Babylon.
从这个西边从这个西边，它已经占领了巴比伦。
This is where Daniel is serving as administrator.
这个巴比伦就是当时但以理在。这里面但以理的当巴比伦的官员。
And keeps going all the way to Asia, to through Syria to Asia Minor, present day Turkey.
他一直这个波斯王朝一直攻占到小亚细亚和叙利亚的很大的部分。
And goes north up to the Caspian Sea by Russia and south toward Egypt and Ethiopia.
他也从北一直打到了这个埃及和埃塞俄比亚。
And then,
朝南。
Okay, and then in verse 4, we see that the prophecy tells that this empire was powerful and does whatever it wanted to do.
在第四节我们看见他告诉我们这个王朝他的力量是非常的大的，他可以做他任何想做的事情。
For example, the empire allows the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild a city and rebuild a temple.
这个王朝他当时是允许这些犹太人再回到耶路撒冷去重建去敬拜神去重建圣殿的。
But other times, this empire changed its mind quickly about the Jewish people.
但是有的是但是我们也看见在很短的时间内他对于犹太人的态度就有一个180度的大转变。
In the book of Esther, at one point they wanted to kill all the Jews, but then God providentially used the Jewish queen Esther to change everything.
在这个以斯帖记这本书中我们就看见他这个讲的一个故事是对犹太族的一个种族灭绝的一个故事。这个王后以斯帖他怎么来拯救犹太人的。
But as Daniel is concerning the importance of this ram, the Medo-Persian Empire, a goat races from the west and attacks the ram.
当这个但以理他继续往下描述的时候，就是这个公山羊他去攻击这个公绵羊。
And this we know through history is like Alexander the Great's conquest of Persia.
这个公山羊在这里就代表了这个亚历山这个伟大的亚历山大，他占领了这个波斯王朝。
He goes from he sweeps in and in 12 years he conquers the lands from Greece to India to Central Asia to Egypt.
这个亚历山大王他在十二年中他占领的地方一直从希腊一直到印度一直到亚洲的中部一直到埃及。
But he quickly dies at the age of 33.
但是这个国王是英年早逝，他只活了33岁。
And then his kingdom is given to his four generals in 323 BC.
他的王朝在他死后就分给了他手下的四位将军，这个时间是在主前的323年。
If this sounds familiar, it's because we talked about this in the previous chapter. Daniel has seen a similar vision in chapter 7.
这儿我们就看见他和第七章但以理书第七章的描述是非常的类似的。
But now we'll get a few more details.
但是在第八章他就更多了更多的细节的东西。
The four horns.
有这个比如说这个四个小角、就是、
There will be much infighting among the four generals, but each general will eventually found their own dynasties.
这个四个小角就是他我们看见这里有很多他们这四个将军之中的内战，然后每一个将军他们都会成立自己的一个国家。
The Emperor Seleucus, the General Seleucus will eventually end up controlling much of the land where Israel resides today.
在这四个将军中，这个西流基将军他最终会，最终会他的权力会变得很大，然后把整个的以色列的国，以色列的土地都控制住。
And in Daniel's vision, the ram, the big horn breaks off, and four little horns, and the four generals.
在但以理的这个意象中，这四个将军就是当这个大角损坏之后，这长出来的四个小角就代表四个将军。
And out of the four horns, they're prominent when they come from one little horn.
在这个小角的时候，在这四个角中，又长出来，其中一个角又长出一个小角。
Out of the dynasty of the Seleucids, there will be one king, which the rest of the prophecy describes.
在这个西流基王朝中，他有一个从这里面会升起另一位国王。
He's cunning and he's ambitious.
他是非常的他是非常的有远大抱负的一个国王。
He fights against the other kings.
他去攻击其他的国王。
And he controls over Israel.
他也最终将会再次的控制以色列。
This king was Antiochus the Fourth, or Antiochus Epiphanes.
这个国王就是指的这个安条克四。
And he starts his reign in 175 BC.
他的统治从主前175年开始。
He's powerful, he's arrogant, and the division here has him going against the host or armies of heaven.
他是一个非常有强大权力的国王，他甚至在这里他所要去敌对的是这些天军。
And not just the host, but the prince of the host, which is likely a title for Jesus.
也不是只对这些天上的天君，而且是要去攻击他的王，这些天君的王耶稣基督。
And also he tramples the stars.
他也非常的藐视这些星宿。
So the question is, what does this mean? Who is he fighting? How does a general fight the stars?
在这里我们就看见
how does a king fight the stars?
这个意象是什么意思呢？他所去攻打的是什么呢？
So we have
这个将军他如何去攻打这些星星？
So we have a few options.
我们有几个解释。
Some people say the host are angels.
有一些人说这些军队是天使。
Oftentimes, angelic beings are described as hosts or armies of heaven.
这些，因为我们看见很多的经文中都把这些天使称为天君或者是天兵。
In the familiar Christmas story of Luke chapter 2, we remember that one angel speaks to shepherds.
在路加福音第二章，我们看见一个天使向这些牧羊人说话。
But the hosts of heaven follow in praise, glory to God in the highest.
这些剩下的天兵，他们也一起来敬拜神，说在至高之处荣耀归于神。
And it seems to be a host, an army of angels who are praising God.
这整个的天兵，他们就都在敬拜神。
And also the idea of angels represented as stars is found throughout the Bible and throughout the literature of the ancient Near East.
在这个古代的西亚地区的这些文献中，还有这个圣经中，很多都记载了这些天使就当作这些星星一样。
So verse 9 seems to be saying that this little horn grew big enough after defeating the empires of earth, it challenges the angelic armies of God.
在第九章我们就看见这个小角它逐渐的长大，他打败了这些地上的所有的势力之后，他就开始去挑战神的势力。
Another option is that these armies are the people of God, the Jewish people.
在第二个解释就是说这些军队是神的子民。
It's a little bit awkward, but it's possible. People could also be described as stars.
这可能听起来有一些奇怪，但是也是可能的。这些也有把人民描述为星星的。
So in this view, the little horn Antiochus defeats the empires and eventually goes after God's people and God's temple in Jerusalem.
在这里这个小角就是这个安克条四世，他最终要去敌对的就是神的子民和神的圣殿。
In fighting, he goes and disrupts the temple worship.
他就是要去扰乱这些人去敬拜神。
And some scholars like this awkward view because no human king, no matter how powerful, can really attack the stars in heaven.
有的学者他们其实是比较倾向于我第二个就这个现在这个解释的，因为他们的观点就是说没有任何的一个地上的君王他们可以去攻击这些天上的星星。
I actually like the first option.Which is more natural to me, that the hosts of heaven and the stars are angelic creatures.
但是我更喜欢的是，但是我自己更赞同的可能是第一种意见，因为因为这个看起来是更自然，更自然的一种描述。
So how does a human king attack the stars and the angels?
所以说这个。是这个人的国王，他怎么去攻打这些星宿呢
？Look at verse 24.
来看一下24节。
He becomes very strong, but not by his own power. There's something behind him, something empowering him.
24节说他的权柄必大，却不是因自己的能力。这就是说他在他的后面其实有其他更大的力量。
There might be some sort of demonic spiritual power who opposes God behind this king.
可能有一些邪恶的敌对神的力量是在后面支持这个国王的。
Yes, he does oppose and attack God's people on earth.
是的，他这个国王他所做的肯定就是去攻击神的子民。
But somewhere in heaven, there's also war going on.
在这个地上的战争的同时，在天上也在发生一场天上的征战。
And I would argue that this vision of the little horn goes beyond Antiochus the Fourth to another king who will one day oppose God.
但是我在这里觉得这个小角它可能不仅仅只代表安克条四世，也代表了其另外的一个王。
We cannot see what happens in heaven in 167 BC, but we have histories of Antiochus the Fourth and what he did on earth.
我们可能在主前的167年不能知道是在天上发生了什么事情，但是我们却能找到一些历史的记载这个安克条四世的所作所为。
He initiated a lot of Jews to worship the Lord in the temple.
在开始的时候，他是允许这些犹太人去敬拜神的。
But as in every society, the Jews had broken into factions.
就像但是这个情况在当时的时候和每一个社会的情况都是一样的。这些犹太人他们就变成了各样的帮派。
One group wanted a very separate religious worship where they continue to follow God. Another group wanted to be more secular and follow the general population and the rituals of the Greek population.
有一派就是比较保守，他们仍然去像以前那样去敬拜神。有一派他们就和当时的这些其他的不是犹太人的人民，他们可能有希望有更多的交流。
And this infighting among the Jews troubled Antiochus, and this is what we read that he did from the Jewish historical book of the first Maccabees.
所以说这些犹太人不同的支派，这些犹太人不同的组，不同的这些小团体，他们互相之间的征战，使得这个国王非常的恼火。
Then the king wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.And that all should give up their particular customs. Many, even from Israel, gladly adopted his religion. They sacrificed idols and profaned the Sabbath. And the king directed them to follow customs strange to the land.
在这个犹太的历史书，这个马加比一书中就写到，王随后于令全国，使各国民族合成一个民族，全族弃本国固有的礼俗。于是各外邦民族都表示服从王的谕令，也有许多以色列人甘心接受了他的宗教，向偶像献祭，亵渎安息日。王又派遣使臣带着诏书到耶路撒冷及犹太各城去，令人随外邦的礼俗。
Antiochus shook his fist at God.
所以说这个安克条四世他就首先就向神有一些挑战。
He tried to make everything that made God's people stop. He wanted everything that the Jews were doing to stop.
他首先是想废除一切这些犹太人敬拜神的一切活动。
No more circumcisions, which symbolize the covenant relationship they had with God.
他也不想他也要废除这个割礼，这割礼本来是一个非常有意象征意义，就是对人和神关系的一个礼俗。
No more sacrifices and offerings were allowed for the forgiveness of sins and for fellowship with God.
也不让他们去献祭，也不让他们去奉献给神。
The holy days which separated Jews from the Gentiles were profaned.
这些以前的日子一去不，这些以前犹太人可以敬拜神的日子一去不复返。
And to make the whole kingdom united as one people, he defiled the temple and sacrificed to Jews.
他为了使这个全国达到一个统一，他把这个圣殿也，他把这个圣殿也废除了，然后让所有的献祭都要献祭给宙斯。
He sacrificed a pig on the altar.
他也用猪肉去献祭。
And he did this with great force, and anyone who desired to worship the Lord would be killed.
他这些东西都是强制执行的，如果你不照他的去做的话，就会被杀掉。
His actions were described as detestable and abomination.
他的这些行为都是非常的强势的。
So back to Daniel 8, 12 and 24. Look at those two verses.
让我们回到但以理书第八章十二节到二十四节。
The little horn will stop the sacrifice. He will cause great destruction. He will throw the truth of God on the ground.
他, 这个王他就是他就不再他就会停止这些献祭，然后他会造成一些很大的很大的损失。
As Antiochus the Fourth comes in to desecrate the temple, he burns the scriptures.
在这个安克条四世他他毁灭了这个圣殿之后，他就烧了这些这些经卷。
And he tries to erase the word of God from the minds of the Jew hearts of Jewish people, the minds and hearts of the Jewish people.
他要把这些他要把这些神的这个概念从这个犹太人中的思想中完全除去。
And he's given great power to do as he pleases.
然后他也有很大的权力去这样做。
So in verse 12 is the end of the vision.
在十三节是是这个意象的结束。
And then we had this question, how long?
然后我们就会有这个问题，这个这种情况要持续多久呢
？Look at verse 13.
然后我们来看一下第十三节。
How long would it take for the vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebuilding that causes desolation, the surrender of the sanctuary, and to the trampling on the foot of the Lord's people.
这十三节说，这除掉长线的燔祭和施行损坏的罪过，将圣所与军旅践踏的意象，要到几时才应验呢
？How long is the response of God's people when they are in trouble？
这个这个去思想有多长？是神的子民在他们遇到一些非常大的问题的时候所常问的一个问题。
How long does not ignore the trouble, but rather highlights the severity of the problems to God?
然后这些人向神呼求要多久？其实，这个呼求他不能去解决这个问题，而是这呼求他问有多长，更显示出这个问题在神的子民中的严重性。
In our lives, when we face problems and difficulties.
在我们的生活中，当我们遇到这些困难的时候
，The Christian response is not a "I don't care, it doesn't matter, God is in control."
我们基督徒的一个反馈，一个应有的反应，不是说我们觉得这个毫不重要，因为神他一定会去在背后去掌权。
Our response when our friends go through suffering is not "Hey, no big deal."Everything will work out.
当我们看见我们的朋友受苦的时候，我们的反应不应该是这个没有什么不要去担心，所有的事情在最后都会变好的。
Right, the Christian response in the face of suffering is identify with the people who are suffering and cry to God, how long?
在我们对神的反应应该是去我们对困难的反应应该是去。应该是去向神呼求，向神去祷告，呼求神，问神要在这个困境中有多，在这个困境中有多长的时间。
When our friends confide with us, right, they're in an abusive relationship or their child is sick, we don't simply just say, "Don't worry, it'll work out for good because God is good."
当我们的朋友他们有很有些困难的时候，比如说他们的小孩子生病了，我们不会。简单的说，不要去担心，一切都会好的。
Right, we should be saddened with them by their circumstance and walk with them and seek God with them by asking how long.
我们应该为他们的我们应该以一个相同的心去理解他们的困难，和他们一起去理解他们的困境，也要和他们一起去向神呼求。
How long would this suffering last?
呼求神这个困境要多长的时间才能够结束呢
how long is also not a statement of despair
在这个在这里问神要多长也不是说一个绝望的一个感觉
when we ask the question how long it begs for an answer
当我们去问这个神要多久的时候我们其实是想寻求一个答案
we know God is in control and the suffering is limited
我知道，我们知道神他是在掌权的。我们所受到的逼迫都是暂时的。
We don't ask the question of if.
我们不会去问去问一些假如的问题。
In the face of suffering, we do not ask if God is powerful. We do not ask if God loves us. We know God is, and God does.
在这些困苦中，我们不会去问神，神是不是爱我们？如果神爱我们的话，如果神是有能力的话，我们其实心里面是知道这个事实都是成立的。
We don't ask if God will forgive us when we repent. We know He will.
当我们去回向神悔改的时候，我们不会问神如果是不是神会原谅我们？我们知道神他一定会原谅我们的。
How long is a powerful question because it assumes an answer from God, while at the same time it trusts in God.
这个问神要多久，其实是一个非常是一个有信心的基督徒，他向神的一种他对神的一种相信。也是对神的一种等待。
He trusts in God and in His timing, He will show mercy and justice.
他知道在神的时间，神有他自己的时间，在他的自己的时间中，他会向我们显出怜悯和公义。
The book of Psalms is full of laments and confessions that begin with this question: How long?
在这个诗篇中有非常多的经节都是向神呼求要多久的。
It's good for us when we face troubles to ask God the same question.
所以说这对我们来说是有很大的鼓励，因为我们时常也问神同样的问题。
How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look at me and answer me, Lord my God.Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
这里说，耶和华啊，你忘记我要到几时呢？要到永远吗？你掩面不顾我要到几时呢？我心里筹算，终日愁苦。要到几时呢？我的仇敌升高压制我，要到几时呢？耶和华我的神啊，求你看顾我，应允我，使我眼目光明，免得我沉睡至死，免得我的仇敌说我胜了他，免得我的敌人在我摇动的时候喜乐。但我倚靠你的慈爱，我的心因你的救恩快乐，我要向耶和华歌唱，因他用厚恩待我。
You see that we can be candid with Godabout our feelings, but yet still trust God at the same time.
我们可以看见我们要去坦然的去向神敞开我们的感觉，但是同时我们也要去信靠相信他。
This is what the Holy One in Daniel chapter 8 verse 13 says. How long is the vision going to continue? How long is the suffering going to last?
这就是在但以理书第八章所他所去向神求问的这个困难要到几时呢？
And God in the next verse gives the answer.
接下来的经节中，神就回答了他的问题。
For 2300 evenings and mornings.
神的答案是2300个日夜。
Then the sanctuary will be restored to its rightful state.
这个圣所就会被重新的洁净。
Some say the 2300 sacrifices missed, or about 3 years.
有的学者他就说2300这个就表示大概3年的时间。
So, that's roughly how long it takes between Antiochus' desecration of the temple until the Maccabees reinstate the sacrifice.
这个就是在这个安克条他安克条四世他毁灭着这个圣殿之后，到这个圣殿重新建立起来的时间。
And this restoration of the temple is the basis for the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah that they have today.
圣殿的重建也是现在犹太人他们庆祝这个 Hanukkah 这个节日的。
In 164 BC.The temple was turned over back by the Jews, cleansed and rededicated so that sacrifices can begin.
在主前的164年，这个圣殿被犹太人重新的拿了回来，也把它给清理干净，然后可以再继续 继续在里面献祭。
Some people say that 2300 is days and not number of sacrifices. So 2300 days is a little bit less than 7 years.
有的学者他们说 2300就是指的 2300天, 不是指的 2300个献祭。
So 7 is a number for complete or perfection. So this means that the desecration of the temple is incomplete and one day will be restored.
所以说这个 2300天就是7年的时间, 有的人说7年是一个, 7这个数字是一个, 是一个完美的数字, 然后这个数字就是说, 这个圣殿被重建, 这个圣殿被重建就是, 就是要用一个完美的时间来重建它。
No matter how you count the 2300, the message is clear. There is an answer to how long. There's an answer to that how long this trouble will last.
不管你对 2300这个数字怎么样的理解, 但是这个是神对, 神对他们呼求的一个回应。
God will not allow his people to suffer injustice forever.
神不会让他的子民一直的无限制的受逼迫。
In fact, it would be a supernatural act that the little horns removed. Look at verse 25.
但我们看见, 在25章有一个超自然的能力去打败这个小角。
Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. The last part of the verse.
他说, 他会却自终却因非人手而灭亡。
Now, this prophecy all happened to pass.
这个预言都是在以前发生的。
And God had told Daniel this 300 years before Antiochus came and fulfilled these prophecies.
神把这个预言这个意象在300年前都已经给了但以理。
And we can say that God is faithful, his word endures.
但我们从历史中就可以看见神是一个非常信实的神。
And it's he who truly controls the world.
这个神是在掌管着这个世界的。
But we must also ask, what does this vision mean for us today?
我们也会再问一个非常实际的问题, 就是这个意象对我们现代的人来说有什么意义呢?
First, Antiochus IV is the main antecedent for this vision. He's the main reference that this vision is referencing.
所以安克条四世他只是一个主要的祖先在这个意象中。
But he's also a pattern of many evil rulers who will come, culminating in the Antichrist.
但是他其实代表的是一个其他的 这样去反基督的一个权势的一个代表。
What happened to the Jews under Antiochus is not unique to them.
在安克条四世的时候发生在犹太人身上的事情不是独一的。
God's people have been persecuted and continue to be persecuted under human governments.
神的子民他在这个经历中就会其实受到这些政府
And Jesus seems to refer to a very similar abomination of the temple that is still future for him.
所以说这个神这里面指的这个圣殿被毁坏也是预示着以后所要发生的事情。
And one day Antichrist with supernatural backing will rule and desecrate the temple.
在幕后的时代中 这个反敌基督也会再次的去毁坏这个圣殿。
And God's people will undergo tremendous suffering.
然后神的子民也会再受到很大的逼迫。
But also one day we know that the suffering will end. How long will be answered and Christ will win over the Antichrist?
但是我们知道有一天这些苦难都会结束, 然后神再次会掌权。
In fact, Jesus says he will cut short those days.
但是我们看见其实耶稣说他会使这些日子减少。
And we also have this. The promise of suffering is not only for this. The promise of suffering for God is not only for those who live under Antiochus' time or those who live in Jesus' end time, but also it's true for everyone that follows Jesus.
这个对苦难的神所对苦难的他的神所对苦难他的预言他的信实不仅仅适用在安克条四世当时的时代也不仅仅是用在和耶稣生活在一起的人的时代而是用在现而是也适用于现今的。
Another thing we should remember from on this passage is that we should have confidence in God's word.
另外一个点就是我们要对神的对神的话语有信心。
The prophecy that Daniel received was 200 years before they started coming true.
这个意象但以理他得到这个意象的时候到这个意象真正成为现实其实 之中是有两三百年的时间的。
Yeah, when you study history, what happens in Jerusalem matches very well with what Daniel had spoken of.
我们从历史中看见在历史中发生的这些事件和但以理当时的意象是非常的吻合的。
And remember, when Daniel received this prophecy, there wasn't even a temple in Jerusalem. It was already destroyed.
当但以理他当时在他的时候他得到这个意象的时候在耶路撒冷还没有圣殿这个圣殿已经被损坏了。
And it wasn't rebuilt yet. And maybe this is why Daniel had such a hard time trying to understand this vision.
这个圣殿还没有被重建这也许是但以理当时非常的不安的原因。
So we should just have confidence in God that He not only allows troubles to come, but He also limits those days.
所以说我们要对神的话语有信心，他不仅不仅让这些困难的事情允许他们发生，也会给我们信心去相信他。
We also talked about that when we suffer, we should ask God how long as part of our limit.
当我们也要记住的就是当我们自己遇到这些困难的时候我们也要去呼求神问神要这些困难在我们身上要多久的时间。
Lastly, we must remember that religious liberty is something that we should strive for.
最后一件事情我们要知道的就是这个宗教的自由是我们要去是我们要去努力奋斗的一个目标。
We should value religious liberty and also pray for government leaders.
我们要去珍惜这个宗教的自由信仰的自由也要去为着这些政府祷告。
Government should not coerce people to worship against their conscience.
所以说这些官员这些政府不能叫神不能叫人民去敬拜这些政府。
That's why Antiochus did, right? For the sake of peace and unity, he wanted everyone to think and worship alike.
这就是当时这就是当时在安克条这个时代他为了使人民去合一去团结他要让他们去敬拜同样的一个神。
He fought against heaven and earth because he wanted a little peace in his land, and he wanted a little bit more power, a little bit more tax.
他最终的目的，他其实是要他所统治的这个地方，他的一个安定，也更让人们更情愿的去顺服他的统治。
His intentions are no different than the atheistic regimes of the 20th century or the rising Islamic states today.
他的这个想法其实是和现在其实和现在这些无神的统治者的想法和这个伊斯兰的教宗教是差不多的。
Many of these repressive governments seek to have peace by forcing people to think and worship the same way.
这些政府他们所要使人他们为了巩固他们自己的统治要让人们去敬拜同样的东西。
On the surface, national unity, right? People everywhere to think the same may sound like a good thing.
在这个表面上来说在一个国家大家都在大家因为国家的利益而团结听起来是一件非常可能是不错的事情。
But whether through the educational system or forced closing of churches, or the limitations on evangelism. Truth is trampled on whenever a state forcibly limits religious freedom.
但在这个过程中，他们就有可能，有可能把一些，把一些真理的，把一些真理给抛弃，让他们去，让他们去进行这样的一种形式。
We need to value religious freedom, but we should also be careful not to call every oppressive government the Antichrist.
我们要去珍惜这个，信仰的自由，但是我们也要小心，不要去叫任何一个政府都是去反都是一个反对基督教的政府。
Our duty is to pray for our leaders. Pray that they would create policies where people could thrive and the gospel go forth.
让我们需要做的，一定要去为我们的政府时常的，政府的领导人。不住的祷告，让他们能够制定相关的政策，让我们可以，这些政策使这个真理，使这些，福音的工作不会被受到阻碍。
Pray for churches that will be a light to this world.
让我们一起也要祷告，也要祷告这些为这些教会所祷告。
I want you to listen to a clip in a minute.
让我们一起来看一小段，小段。
It's just a video.
录像。
It's a pastor in China who is not imprisoned.
这是一个从中国的，在中国侍奉的牧师，但他现在已经被关起来了。
Listen to his passion and his challenge to the persecuted church.
让我们听一听他的。
Wait, okay. Listen to how he calls Xi Jinping a sinner who needs to repent and be reconciled to God.
让我们听一下他的困难，然后他的教会是怎么被逼迫的，然后也要听听他，他其实是说，中国的领导人也是有罪的。
There are subtitles in English.
也是需要去向神悔改的。
Okay. And there's subtitles in Chinese and English for you to follow.
所以让我这样讲。生命当中的一切的软弱，为什么你仍然停留在谎言里面？为什么你仍然停留在污秽的那一切的恶毒里面？因为你怕受逼迫，因为你不以为受逼迫是上帝的祝福，因为神说了，背起十字架来跟从我的，在今生失去啊，舍弃这个万物的百物的。我们相信，我们有责任告诉习近平，他是一个罪人。 今天中国教会要把福音给这个不认识福音甚至来抵挡逼迫主的教会的社会，用什么方法？用十字架的道路，用放胆传讲神国的道路，用为此所承担的代价。
Persecution is not new, it is ongoing, and we can count it as a privilege as we follow Christ. Pray for China, but also pray for our leaders that they will repent, and pray for us that we will stand through times of trouble.
这逼迫不是一件新的事情，我们从我们这里要为着中国而祷告，也要为着我们的领导人而祷告，然后当我们面对这些逼迫的时候，我们要知道我们是有这个权柄去跟随耶稣基督的。